Welcome back to another episode of Feel Good Life. I'm excited today to have Blake Swindle. He's the Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Ag Heritage Farm Credit Services. So right now in the farm economy, we're talking a lot about dollars and losing dollars and borrowing dollars and all that kind of stuff. And so I thought this might be a good conversation to have in light of what's going on and maybe to help educate farmers about what they might can be proactive about as they're moving toward the lending season. So welcome, Blake.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
First of all, let's just let my listeners get to know you a little bit. So just tell us a little bit about your career, your family, your history.
All right. Yeah. So I grew up in Northeast Arkansas in Paragould, so not far away from Newport and Jackson County. Matter of fact, I spent a lot of time in Jackson County as a kid playing ball and whatnot against the Greyhounds. So, they were in our conference. Got a lot of history in Jackson County. As a matter of fact, my wife has roots in Jackson County. She was a Greyhound for a little while, and both her parents were Grubbs Blue Jays. So I spent a lot of time around there, but grew up in Paragould, went to school at Arkansas State. My parents weren't directly involved in agriculture. My dad was a farmer on the farms there in town, but had an uncle that farmed cotton on the east side of town, the Alexander community, close to the St. Francis River over there. So I got a lot of good memories of spending time during cotton harvest over there on his farm. So that's a piece of it. And really, you know, growing up in the Delta in Northeast Arkansas, ag is the main industry. You can't get away from it. That's what these little towns kind of revolve around. Went to Arkansas State, and college jobs there revolved around ag. Worked for a flying service, worked for a rice mill, an independent rice mill there. Always had an interest in agriculture, and so farm credit was really a good fit for me as I got out of college. I've got a degree in corporate finance and then a master's of business administration that I got there at Arkansas State. And farm credit was my first job out of college. Started as a credit analyst trainee here 20 something years ago. I did go back to a bank in Paragould for a short period, for like 3 years, but got the opportunity to come back to farm credit down here in Little Rock and took that opportunity when I got the chance. The vast majority of my career has been at farm credit. Outside of that, I've got my wife, Misty, you know, obviously Jackson County girl, and I've got two kids. I've got a daughter that's a senior at Wachita Baptist and a son that's a senior in high school here in Benton.
Well, good deal. Well, a long career with Farm Credit and Ag Heritage, which is good. Kind of learned the system and you've worked your way up to EVP. So good for you. Congratulations. That's awesome. So sometimes people get a little confused about what is Farm Credit and what is Ag Heritage and how are they connected and what's the history of all that. It is a little bit complicated over the years. So give us a little brief history.
Yeah, so I'll give you a 50,000-foot level, and I do understand that the system is kind of confusing for those that aren't inside of it. I tell folks that I work for Farm Credit that aren't involved in agriculture, and they think I sell insurance, so I completely understand what you're talking about. You know, those that are involved in Farm Credit obviously, you know what Farm Credit is, or at least that they loan money in ag. But the system was formed by Act of Congress in 1916, and it was the Federal Farm Credit Act. And really what it was set up to do is to bring money from Wall Street to rural America. And even back then, you know, in 1916, farming was a very capital-intensive enterprise. The banking system in these rural communities just didn't have the capital to really fund these large farming enterprises. So Congress had the foresight to set up a farm credit system that now, you know, is over $500 billion funding in rural America today. And in regards to structure, we're all independently owned. There's no government ownership or anything like that. We're all individually owned and operated cooperatives. So there's 53 associations across the United States. There's four funding banks. We borrow from AgriBank that's headquartered in St. Paul, Minnesota. That's where our funds come from. And then we loan those funds to farmers and rural America here in Central Arkansas. So there's actually three Farm Credit Associations that have operations in Arkansas. So if you look at Northeast Arkansas, from Clay down to about Phillips County, there's a 10 county section in Northeast Arkansas that's funded by Farm Credit Mid-South. Well, it's actually Farm Credit Mid-America now. And then we've got the 24 counties in Central Arkansas, north to south, that captures the kind of the western side of the Mississippi Delta. And then the western half of the state, which is primarily animal agriculture protein, with the exception of the river valleys, that's serviced by Farm Credit of Western Arkansas.
So we've got three different groups, all part of Farm Credit here in the state.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we actually have about $8 billion of asset collectively between the Farm Credit loaned out here in the state of Arkansas.
So with Ag Heritage, is it predominantly row crop, or do y'all have some animal agriculture as well?
We've got a little bit of animal agriculture kind of on the western edges of our territory. When we start getting into the hills and whatnot, we've got a pretty good portfolio of poultry as well. We've got three, poultry complexes that are located in our service area. So there's two plants in Faithful and one in Pocahontas, and actually one in Pine Bluff as well, the toxic plant Pine Bluff. We've got quite a few poultry growers that we finance, and then most of the poultry growers also have a cattle operation, cow-calf, or a feeder operation.
So when we're seeing the economic shape that row crop is in, Heritage feels that pretty strongly or not so strongly?
We feel it very strong, even though we do have a little bit of diversification with animal agriculture. I'm going to say that, 40-something percent of our portfolio is predominantly rice producers. So that's a huge piece of our portfolio.
So today I mainly want to talk to you about, what these row crop farmers can do to be proactive as we start, finalizing the 25 crop year and moving into 26 lending season. Let's just kind of, for those who may not know, I would think that's not very many of my listeners, but for those who may not understand a little bit about the economics of row crop agriculture here in Arkansas and kind of in the Mid-South, and I guess basically across the country at this point, let's just talk just a little bit about what that's looked like over the past few years. It's kind of gotten us to where we are.
Yeah, Jennifer. So, I think, to your point, most of your listeners probably have a good understanding of what's going on. But, what I would say is here in the Mississippi River Delta, we're kind of in the eye of the hurricane in regards to the ag economic cycle. We're in our second or third year of losses for a lot of our producers, whereas in the Midwest, they're probably – they may still be breaking even or making a little bit of money. Maybe some just starting to lose money. So we're looking at our second or third year loss. So what I would say for our producers is just, control what you can control. And there's a lot of things that are outside of your control. But,
exactly. Yeah.
But the controllable, the plan, work that plan, try to minimize your expenses to the best of your ability, especially on things outside of off-farm, will really what we want to see when folks are coming in is just that they have a plan, if they have lost money for multiple years, coming in and having an idea of what they want to do or what kind of change that they can make that's under their control to try to improve their operation.
And so, when you talk about things you can control, let's just tick off a few things you can't control. Like, number one, the weather, which hurt us tremendously in Jackson County and in Northeast Arkansas this spring due to not being able to plant because it was too wet. We can't control what the cost of our inputs are, and we really have no basic control over the price that we sell our goods for. Now, there are some things we can do on that end, or both ends, to try and minimize the fluctuations and the volatility, but there's not that much we can control. So going forward, I hear a lot about, there's been a big push, I guess, in the last couple of years from consultants, marketing consultants, and people coming around trying to teach us how to market our crop better, which is something that we all need to do. Now, for years and years and years, the Extension Service has had a program called, I think it's called Market Maker. And I can remember years ago, they would try to get a class up and there really wasn't a lot of participation. I think it's hard. You know, it's hard to understand. It's hard to do. And most folks that are farming want to be on the farm, right? They don't want to be sitting at a desk looking at the markets. But is there anything that Ag Heritage kind of encourages producers along the marketing line, or should we be out prepaying for our seed? I mean, what y'all's look at, is that part of the plan when we come in? If I can show you where I've set my costs or set my price for my sales, things like that.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head with that. Our producers, for the most part, by and large, are great producers. They make a good crop year in, year out. And if there's one area that they can improve as managers, it would be on the market side. And, you know, I'm a banker, call myself a banker anyway. I'm not a marketer or a producer. But there are definitely ways that people can improve their farming operation by improving their skill set on the market. The production has never been an issue with folks in our area.
Are there available lines of credit for hedging and things like that if the lender, the loan officer, feels confident in the abilities of the farmer to be able to do those things, or how does that work?
You bet. So Ag Heritage does offer, you know, hedge lines, and we have for a number of years. We've got, you know, it's not very widely adopted, I will say that, but we do have a handful of folks that have come in and asked for lines of credit for hedge lines. You know, as long as they have a plan in mind and have a strike price and what they want to do and are not speculating outside of, you know, the normal operation.
Of course.
We're completely on board with that.
Right. Well, and it's, you know, you can have that plan, but having the discipline to follow through with it sometimes is really the key for me anyway, because it gets to your mark and you're like, well, maybe it'll keep going up, you know, and then 2 days later, you're like, boy, I sure wish I'd have gone ahead and done that, you know, so the discipline, I think, is the most important part of the marketing plan, really.
No, that's right. And to that point, Jennifer, it's about knowing, you know, knowing really what your costs are and what your break even is. Mm-hmm. And if you have a good feel for that and you set a strike price out there, you know, you can feel confident that if you exercise that, you can break even or make a little bit of money, you know, and, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, looking at 25, there probably wasn't a whole lot of opportunity to even do that. But having a plan in mind and to your point, having the discipline to stick with it and to take some of the risk off the table when you have opportunities to break even or make a little bit of money.
Well, and you mentioned a great point about know your costs, and we can go by the University of Arkansas budgets, which I think are pretty good, especially, you know, when for planning, for sure, you know, a good place to start. And then you may have some differences on your farm due to your area or soil types or mix of crops or various how many people, you know, how many laborers you got, owners you got, all those things come into play. I'm very proactive about knowing what our costs are, and how common is that for a farmer to be on point with really what their costs are, and then in turn that goes into that discipline of that plan. So if you aren't as sure and confident with your costs, it's even harder to be disciplined with your plan.
That's 100% correct, Jennifer. You know, I'll say this as well. If, you know, we talked about the marketing aspect, and there's probably, you know, some opportunities for producers to, you know, up their skill set on the marketing side, but, you know, I think there's probably opportunity as well for folks to sharpen their pencil and really understand what the cost that they have in their crop is. And really, that helps you across the board. You know, to your point, you don't know, if you don't know what your break even is, you don't know what your strike price ought to be to take some risk off the table. You know, the university does do a great job of putting the budgets together. It's really, that's a guideline. Every farm is different. Every area is different. So you've got to do your homework and really, you know, put a pencil to it and understand what you're talking.
Well, and of course, things change too. So many things change over, you know, when we're looking at budgets in, say, February, March, by the time we're putting that urea out, mid-season rice, it could be, you know, $100 a ton more, $100, $200, who knows what. keeping up with it constantly throughout the season, which is extremely challenging as you're really doing the heart of the work of getting your crop in. It's challenging to keep up with that other side of it. So I know there's folks out there who do that for farmers and take care of that. And sometimes that extra expense may be a line item that a farmer says, well, I don't really need that. So I think, you know, weighing those choices between, am I good at this or do I need to hire somebody to do this? I think probably coming into play these days.
Exactly right. And you know, if you're an operator that loves to be out, you know, on the farm and in the dirt, you know, I think it'd be money well spent to have somebody, you know, to really track your revenue and your expenses for you. You know, we've got some producers that, as a manager, that's what they want to do, you know, in the office and directing traffic and understanding their books and you know, their costs and the revenue. So, you know, there are some that would prefer to be on the tractor or whatnot, and that's great. But if you don't have that, probably be money well spent to have that in your operation, spend the money to have somebody track it.
Yeah, and that just goes back to knowing what your skill set is and trying to hire to fill in where you don't have that skill set. So, I mean, that's what any business is trying to do all the time, I would think. So one of the questions I had for you is that we see a lot of lobbying going on in agriculture right now. And does the Farm Credit System participate in lobbying? And what does that look like for the farmer and for the entity of the Farm Credit as well?
Yeah, Jennifer. So Farm Credit System has a wing called Farm Credit Council. And actually what they do is lobby for our member owners and for their benefit in Congress. So they're headquartered in Washington, D.C. We also have a Farm Credit Political Action Committee, so we've got our own PAC. Most of the employees here donate to that PAC, so they're lobbying for the interest of our member owners in D.C. And then here locally, the three associations that I mentioned that operate here in Arkansas, we also have hired our own lobbyists here for the state of Arkansas and also go to D.C. court as well and lobby the Arkansas members of the House.
So part of the service portion of being a member of the cooperative is that lobbying for us as well. That's part of your services, I would assume.
Absolutely, yeah. And so, you know, when our farmers are doing well, we're doing well and vice versa. And so, you know, the Farm Credit System is mission driven. I mean, all we do is agriculture and rural finance. So, that's the core of what we do. That's who we are. And so every ounce of energy that we have is around the farm and the farmer. And our Farm Credit Council arm is further to what we're trying to get at with the health farm.
Yeah. And there's been some big pushes in D.C. I'm sure that the Farm Credit Council was involved in when we hear of, you know, the bankers went to D.C. That includes you guys as well when y'all were there on behalf of the farmers. And we were able to receive those ECAP program back last year and the disaster programs. I mean, that seemed to be an ag financial push that really helped kind of knock that over the finish line for us.
You bet. We spend a lot of time, not me personally, but the system and Farm Credit Council. I spend a lot of time in D.C., you know, lobbying for those payments. We're spending a lot of time in D.C. now lobbying for some sort of ad hoc payment, and we're very hopeful that we'll be able to get something in that regard. But, I don't have any news to that effect.
Well, too bad. Yeah, we could have an announcement today, right?
I don't have an announcement for your podcast. I wish I did, but I'm very hopeful.
Yeah. So kind of to that point, we did get those ECAP payments, the disaster payments. I don't really think much of that disaster from December has really started to come out yet in general. I think you had to have kind of a specific, in some of the specific areas in the country, maybe hurricanes or fires. But, and then we got some farm bill provisions in the reconciliation package, or what a lot of people call the one big beautiful bill, that are really going to be helpful to row crop farmers here in Arkansas.
Yes.
But they're delayed.
Yeah.
So, which has been part of a lot of the conversation. So what does that look like from y'all's side?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, increase in the reference price on rice will be huge for our territory. Like I said, we're 40-45% of our portfolio is, primarily rice producers. So that will be a huge bump. To your point, the 2025 payment comes out in October 26th. That doesn't do a whole lot for our producers right now. The hope, and I know hope is not a strategy, but we're sure asking for a little bit of some sort of bridge payment to get us to October.
Right. A lot of work going in on that, and lots of comments and quotes from important folks in D.C. that are flying around these days. So at least it's being talked about. So maybe I think we maybe really have some hope, hopefully, right? So.
Yeah.
But as we are as farmers, and, of course, we're still harvesting today. I mean, I would think most farms in Arkansas still have some crop in the field, maybe halfway, maybe a little more than that, probably down south, but still harvesting this crop. Don't have totals of what 25 actually looks like yet. May or may not have marketing completed. I'm sure there's a lot of crop insurance claims still in process. So there's a lot of money that should be coming into farms to help with, 25 debt repayment. What can a farmer do now as we're getting these totals to be prepared to present to their lender what 25 is going to look like?
Yeah, and so what I would say, Jennifer, is to not put it off. Try to get everything together as soon as you can, and to come in early. A lot of times, especially in good years, folks are, once they get ready, once they put the combines up, they're ready to take a break, and for good reason. I mean, it's been a long summer and a long growing season, and a lot of hours and a lot of sweat have gone into producing that crop and harvesting that crop and marketing that crop. But, when we're going into the second or third year losses, my advice would be is to get your numbers put together as quick as you can, go see your financial institution as soon as you can, and have a plan ready. Understand where you're at. And have a plan in place for the 26 crop, and do that as soon as
you can. Yeah. And so, looking at the markets for next year, there's really not a crop here in Arkansas that looks like a winner.
Right. Yeah.
So how do you make your crop plan for next year, right?
Yeah, it'd be tough to do. The thing about it, we just had our renewal meeting last week. And looking at these break-evens, and this doesn't include PLC, and I don't want to spread, bad news, but there's really not a crop that's a money maker, where you can really even cover variable costs. Coming up with a crop plan, to your point, is pretty difficult. What I will say is, with the PLC, especially on rice, I think you might be able to show a black number.
Yeah.
What I was going to say is sometimes, when you're going through an efficiency cycle like this, and I think that's what we have. I mean, we got supply increasing at a much faster rate at a global level than demand. So what that means is the low cost producers are going to be the most successful. So, it's looking at ways to cut expenses where you can, just hang on until we get.
And I would guess when you're saying cut expenses where you can, y'all are not seeing a lot of new equipment purchases or even trading for used equipment probably at this point. Is everybody just hunkering down and got repair bills and that's it?
That's about right. Jennifer, in my career, I think this is about as slow as I've seen the equipment trades and purchases and whatnot. Drive by the equipment dealership and it's full of equipment, and I haven't seen that in a number of years. I think that tells the story there. There's just not a lot going on the equipment side. And really, for where we're at now, that's really what you would expect.
Well, my dad tells a story about when I came back from college. So I graduated college in 94 and came back to the farm. And it was several years after that, I was looking through our books, kind of trying to learn and look back at history and things like this. And he said, I came in and I showed him the depreciation schedule for the mid to late 80s. And I said, Dad, there's no depreciation. How does that even work? I mean, that's got to be wrong. What'd they do wrong? He was like, no, that's right. I didn't buy anything for years after the early 80s, you know. So I feel like that may be where we are. We may not have any depreciation expense on our books or very little because we've either been expensing it out earlier or we're not buying anything now. So.
Right.
Well, one other question, too, is, you know, there are legal lending limits. And as we talk about operating loans and equipment loans and things like that, so where does Ag Heritage fall in legal lending limits and abilities to work with farmers and big, larger operations?
Yeah, so our lending limit at Ag Heritage, and this is part of our federal regulation, it's the percentage of our regulatory capital. That would be similar to the bank as well. So we're sitting at about $500 million of regulatory capital at Ag Heritage. We're a $3 billion financial institution and asset size. So here locally, we have a legal lending limit of about $6 million. With that being said, we are a member of the Farm Credit System. The Farm Credit System collectively has a legal lending limit of $1.5 billion. We like to tell the story that somebody could walk into our Newport branch and ask for a $5,000 loan, or they could ask for a $500 million loan in Newport, Arkansas, and we could accommodate that.
Well, that's good to hear, because I think between some carryover debt and equipment payments and trying to, you know, finance this 25 crop until we get the PLC in 26 and then financing a 26 crop, a lot of us are probably going to be carrying a heavier debt load than what we are normally used to in many operations.
Yeah, and you know, with interest rates, you know, kind of where they're at, another thing, you know, to your point, that's not in the farmer's control, you know, interest rate with where they've been. And we've got a little bit of relief on that, you know, last month. We got a 25 basis point cut, and hopefully we get another one in December. But that kind of adds fuel to the fire in regards to the expenses, you know, interest rate expense being a larger piece of the overall expense of an operation today versus where it was 4 or 5 years ago. But yeah, also to your point, with farmers carrying a larger debt load, we're open for business. Ag Heritage has a large balance sheet and has access to the rest of the Farm Credit System, so we've got the capacity no matter what size.
Yeah. Well, and it's the interest piece, I think, has been important for farmers to realize and kind of track a little bit closer than we were when we were borrowing money at much lower rates. I know I used to not keep a really big line item for interest in our budgets, but now I do, because you get to the end of the lane and you're like, oh, I still owe how much more for interest, you know, and it's a big number now. So,
you know, and the game has changed on that. We went so many years where interest didn't cost anything. Cost of capital was basically nothing, and today that can be a big line item on a P&L. What we say and what we look at is, you know, we've got standards for equity positions, and when leverage didn't cost you anything, that equity position could have been lower. Now that leverage costs you something, that equity position needs to be higher. So what used to be say a 50% owner equity position might need to be a 60 or 65% owner equity position.
Yeah, and it's getting a little harder to keep that equity up anyway, just to start with, right? Yeah. So, yeah, another challenge.
Getting squeezed on both ends, right?
That's right, yeah. Well, and two, these equipment lines of credit, even though we're not coming back for new equipment, potentially, I would assume that a lot of the term loans for equipment are probably still in at some of those lower fixed rates that we got a few years ago. And as those start to roll off and we do have opportunities to buy new equipment, then we're going to have higher interest costs in our term loans too, which is going to compound that issue.
That's exactly right. And then you look at the price of a tractor or combine versus what it was 5, 6, 7 years ago too. And that's a sticker shock.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is, for sure. Well, I was trying to be positive here, but there's just not too much positive to talk about, unfortunately. Being early, I think, just telling farmers, we're going to have to hunker down this winter and actually work a little bit longer than what we normally do. Duck hunt in the morning, go in the office in the afternoon, right? And then go in the deer woods for the evening. So we can still get it all done. We're just going to have to spend a few more hours crunching numbers.
Yeah, that's right. My biggest ask, of the producers would be is, you know, when you put that combine up, pull out the pencil and get your numbers straightened out and to go see your banker. I think that's the best thing.
Yeah, and sometimes that meeting may feel harder than it is when you sit down. And so, you know, every ag lender everywhere knows the situation, and they are prepared for troubled accounts and troubled people and all those good things. So from a mental health aspect, even if it doesn't look good on paper, go sit down, go talk to them, work through it. And I think we're seeing a lot more support for farmer mental health. And to that point, even the ag related folks, you know, an ag lender who has had a reputation with potentially multiple generations of the same family for decades, you know, they are feeling that mental strife of the potential to have to tell folks that they can't lend them money, or we're going to have to make, this is going to be tougher this year. We got to work together. So I think it's not just farmers and their families, but it's everybody in agriculture at this point. And I'm curious if Ag Heritage or Farm Credit Service has access for y'all's employees for any kind of services toward that.
Yeah. And that's a great question, Jennifer. And to your point, you know, we're a relationship business, and our ag lenders have relationships with their customers that go back many, many, many years. That, you know, like I said, I mean, they see them at the grocery store, they sit on the church pew with them, and so, you know, when our producers hurt, you know, our loan officers are hurting as well. And from our perspective, you know, sitting here in Little Rock and being maybe one step removed from it, the best thing we can do is just check on our people. You know, how you doing? How you holding up? And whatnot, because it is tough. I mean, it really is tough. But we do have services available here. We've got a very good insurance program at Ag Heritage and Farm Credit System does. And we've got access to online help. We've got access to, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists that are a phone call away. And we've got, I want to say, 4 or 5 like free sessions that you can just pick up and use at any time you're feeling down about certain things or whatnot. And sometimes it's just good to talk to people. You know, we do have flyers out in our branches for our farmers as well that has contact information for online help and call-in numbers that they can call and get some help to talk to somebody.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And I know we've heard a lot in the news lately about it, which I think is great because it is such a solitary profession. You know, you're by yourself a lot when you're a farmer, and that just causes your brain to start spinning, and then you're awake at 2 a.m. worrying about it and things like that. So it's good to know that there are other people experiencing the same trials and tribulations that you are today, and that it's okay to not feel okay about it.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody feels good about the situation any of us are in, but it will get better.
It will. It will. And, it, you know, farming, it's a stressful job even in the good times. So, you know, when you go through some adversity, it's more stressful.
Okay. So farmers, just get started on those numbers. Come in, come early, right?
Get your numbers put together.
Sounds good. We're going to get to work on them.
All right. Very good.
Blake, it's really nice to have you on. Glad to have this conversation. So thank you so much for your time today.
Jennifer, enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's it for today's episode of Feel Good Life, and I'll see y'all in the field. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review so you stay in the loop. Let's keep telling the story.